Hi, welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for joining us today and carving out a little bit of your time to edge God into your words, your thoughts, your deeds, and your actions. Today, I'm going to jump into a scripture that the Lord has really been sifting me with over the last couple of weeks, and it comes from Romans 8, verses 6 through 11. Again, the focus of today's podcast is going to be on the scripture Romans 8, 6 through 11. And I'm doing the podcast today solo. As I've mentioned before, my incredible co-host, Dr. Estella Chavaz, lives in the Netherlands. So we're about 6 hours difference. So we're kind of popping back and forth and crossing paths when we can together to get on at the same time. But you'll be noticing that she'll be doing some podcasts and I'll be doing some podcasts. We're actually working together right now to put together our first Bible study support resource manual that will contain 30 of the top Edge God In podcasts so that they could be used for groups individually as to be able to edify and strengthen one another. So let's begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, thank you that in 2 Timothy 4:18, you say that you will rescue us from every evil assault. So rescue us today, Lord, from every evil assault and bring us safely into your heavenly kingdom. Grant us the grace, we pray this morning, to be able to be still, to know that you are God, to listen to the small voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Give us the strength to be able to be still, to know that you are God and that with you we lack nothing. And give us the grace to also release the trinkets that we're gripping a hold of this morning or this afternoon or this evening that we feel that we need in order to be enough, in order to know that we have value. And give us the strength to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to govern our mind, to overcome the stress and anxiety that often happens when the mind, our mind, is governed by the flesh. So give us the strength to shake off those trinkets, those non-essentials. Help us to resurrect the mind that we are given, and it's our heritage as followers of you that we do have the same spirit that rose you from the grave. Help us to lean into that spirit today. Give us the strength to lean our entire personality into you so that we can begin again and be quicker today than yesterday in our ability to hear and respond to your voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, that you are with us today. Romans 8, one of my favorite chapters in the scriptures. Romans 8, 6 through 11 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It can't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, good news, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Yay! That deserves a standing ovation. Let's stand up and give Romans 8, 6 through 11 a standing ovation. The mind governed or controlled by the flesh is death. And the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So much contained in these several verses from Romans 8, 6 through 11. I'm going to invite you to explore a little acronym called WOW, W-O-W. And to put a deeper meaning to that wow experience in life. It's amazing. Perhaps you use that expression quite a bit. I know that I do. I'll say, wow, that's so cool. Wow, you didn't say that. I'll use that expression quite a bit, and perhaps someone will speak that wow to you today. Moving forward from today, what if you thought of that experience of wow when something just wows you in life as being within omnipresent wonder? W within O omnipresent W wonder within omnipresent wonder. When you find yourself swept up in the wonder of God's omnipresence, that means that He is present in all places at all times. You remember whose you are and literally are able to pick up the trials of this world like a child's toy. Come with me on this. Think about your last couple of weeks, perhaps the last week even. Did you have a moment that you were wowed by, that you walked away from, and you simply said, wow, that was really cool? Perhaps you experienced the omnipresent wonder of God, that curiosity, that childlike curiosity of wonderment. Heaviness in life is a direct result of a mind driven by the flesh, as we read in Romans 8, 6 through 11. A mind controlled by the flesh. Anytime your mind is driven by the flesh, heaviness will result. Part of that heaviness has to do with fear. Fear overcomes trust. I mean, fear does not overcome trust. Trust overcomes fear. The flesh is a thief that continually steals your joy, peace, and confidence in Christ. The love of God resurrects and recovers the pieces of you that actually spill out into the world along the way due to fear, self-doubt, and worry. Have you ever felt that way? That you literally have spilled out of yourself? Perhaps you've walked into a meeting feeling as if you have all your bullet points and you share them, and yet the room is flatlined. You don't get the reaction and responses you desired. So you feel depleted, your energy feels depleted, your capacity for action is crushed because you didn't get the response. And the fear that you didn't measure up starts to slither in into your interior castle. That's a mind that all of a sudden has a mini possession of the flesh. Like St. Paul talks about in Romans 8, 6 through 11, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Now, I have got to give credit here to today's reflection. This is just a little excerpt of a book I'm working on with an incredible colleague of mine, Jen Schlopek, and the book will be released later this year. But one of the entries here really digs down on what is happening when my mind is controlled by the flesh. What does that look like, feel like, and sound like? And what happens when my mind is controlled by the Spirit? Your place of empowerment lies in your ability to remember. When you've spilled out of yourself, the members or your sense of identity, worth, value are scattered. So your empowerment lies in your ability to remember that you have the mind of Christ. We're told this in Romans 8, 6 through 11. Or we're told that we have the Spirit of Christ that is living within us. There's another scripture that actually says you have the mind of Christ, the same mind of Christ. So that Spirit of Christ lives within you. When your mind is governed, and let's dismantle the meaning of words. Sometimes it reminds me in Princess Bride when he says, I don't think that word means what you think it means. So a lot of times we use words that don't mean what we think they mean. And words have energy. That's going to be the next podcast, is on our mouth and the words that we use, because it goes hand in hand with the mind that's governed by the Spirit. The mind that's governed by the Spirit, the end result of that are words that edify and build up. The mind that is governed by the flesh, the words that spill out of our mouth, ends up producing death in the lives of those people around us. We'll flatline people with an ugly word, or our inner critic will flatline ourselves and our sense of motivation and engagement with one ugly word. And so we're starting first with the mind. And then the next podcast will jump into the mouth, because that's the ramification of having a mind controlled by the flesh or the Spirit. So your mind is governed. It's controlled, influenced, and regulated by the spirit. When it is, the result is life. When your mind is governed by the flesh, the result is death. Your confidence, maybe it's a flatlining and a death to your self-worth, your courage, your power to overcome. Jesus' words found in John 10:10. This is one of the scriptures I memorized when I was 18, and I loved it because it gave me such a sense of empowerment. And they speak, it speaks of the one who twists the mind and steals the identity of humanity. The devil comes to kill and destroy, as it says in John 10:10. The devil comes to kill and destroy. Well, the mind controlled by the flesh results in death. So in John 10:10, the devil comes to kill and destroy. And Jesus just crashes that scene and says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. How does the devil kill and destroy? By poisoning the mind with falsity, trickery. Zach Williams has an awesome song out there that he wrote, and perhaps you've heard it. It's called Fear is a Liar. If not, I highly recommend you look that one up. Fear is a Liar by Zach Williams. I'm going to just read a couple of the lyrics from that song, because fear is a liar. These are some of the lyrics directly from Fear is a Liar. It goes like this. When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, that's a good one, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. It is also important to reflect upon Jesus' comparison to children. When we're talking about fear being a liar, the younger the child is, have you ever noticed this? The toddlers, they don't know fear. They'll walk off the edge of steps. They'll literally touch a hot stove. Fear is learned. Now, there's the good learning of a lesson of being careful. Don't touch that. That's hot. Don't walk to the edge. You'll fall off. You'll hurt your head. We teach young children boundaries, healthy boundaries. And then there's the fear that literally trumps the trust in God. And that's also learned as well. Jesus invites the little children, and he references them in comparison to the kingdom of God. The children belong to the kingdom of God. If we really want to enter God's kingdom of love, purpose, and freedom in Christ, we must master the mind. Children do not know how to act one way and be another. They're completely aligned with their inner nature. We're not alone on this journey. For whatever God calls us to master, and mastering the mind requires divine intervention. This is not an easy task, people. This calls for high noticing and taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ, to create and to allow our mind to be controlled by the Spirit. Requires high noticing on our part to be able to capture those below the line thoughts and to flip them into a positive space. Capture every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So ask for the strength, ask for the wisdom, the guidance. Dear God, I give you permission to override my mind. I give you permission, dear God, to override this negative thought. Children are constantly within omnipresent wonder. They're constantly in the wow, W-O-W, experience of God, within omnipresent wonder. They will literally squat and look at a roly-poly for like 20 minutes because they're absolutely enamored and enthralled with the experience of the moment, the present, omnipresent moment of creation. We lose that. The older we get, what happens to us as adults? We get distracted by all these shiny objects and trinkets that capture our attention and literally render us in the cave like Gollum, Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, Gollum, which the definition of Gollum, he thoughtfully chose that name. It means the unman, the man who's lost himself in the fetish And children are not lost in the fetish. They're lost in the wonderment of God, the omnipresent wonderment of God. And the younger they are, seems the more intense they are. And when they're raised with love, you see it even more and healthy boundaries. They're in this place of curiosity and fascination. Let's resurrect that. What if you woke up tomorrow and your way moving forward was all curiosity and fascination? So when anything popped up, rather than labeling it as fear or labeling it as failure, you simply just looked at it as an undesirable outcome and an opportunity to learn and grow. So you are the landlord of your mind here. You have the ability to choose to invite the Holy Spirit to govern your mind, to take control, to influence and regulate your mind. Ask and you shall receive. Ask the Holy Spirit to govern your mind, to help you with your thoughts today. Just as quickly as you can have the intention to have the Spirit govern your mind, it doesn't take a lot to topple us over as adults, particularly when it's an ugly comment or behavior that's stonewalling or defensive behavior, stonewalling or ugly talk. Those usually flip us out of that place of inner peace and having our mind governed by the Spirit pretty quickly. And all of a sudden we're lingering and bumping around in the dark in the mind controlled by the flesh. Imagine that scene of when Jesus is looking at Peter and he's in the boat and he's like, I want to be able to walk above this. I mean, wouldn't it be great, you guys, if we could walk above those ugly thoughts as well as reactive behavior that compromises the best version of us in Christ? Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to do that? And imagine the waves represent those things, those below the line behaviors that don't showcase God, that don't allow people to see Christ in us. So Peter's sitting in this boat and Jesus says, come on. He said, I want to do this. I want to be able to walk above this, rise above it. So Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat and then all of a sudden he starts looking around and starts to sink because his trust and his confidence are rocked by what he sees. Perhaps you've experienced that this week. Perhaps there's been something in the office or something with a colleague at work or at home, a family member. They said something and all of a sudden it rocked your world and you start looking at it. You shift your attention from the mind of the Spirit, which walks above those things, to the mind controlled by the flesh, and you start to sink. And instantly he says, Jesus, help me. Use that one-liner, you guys. Moving forward in your week, I encourage you, use that one-liner. When you start to sink, your attitude starts to become compromised. Your behavior starts to linger around in the dark corners of expression. And you find yourself facing this ugly creature and you don't even recognize yourself sometimes. Cry out, Lord, save me. Instantly, Jesus responds with, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When you ask a young child if they think that something's possible, the younger the child is, often they'll just instantly step up with confidence. Of course that's possible. And then they go on explaining how it is possible. Yeah, you can do that. And they come up with the most amazing creative ideas. They're just quicker in their response for the possible. And perhaps this is why Jesus invites us to become like little children. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Mind controlled by the flesh is death and destruction. St. Paul reminds us that we have the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the grave. Just sink into that for a moment. Wow. Did you forget? You have the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the grave, living within you. Wow. Step with an omnipresent wonder of that thought. It's a crazy thought to just really allow ourselves to lean into that truth. Lean back into that Spirit that we have as believers and followers in Christ. That's the gift. We have the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Saint Mother Teresa offers us an incredible analogy. I think about this quite a bit, of a fish in water. Wherever we swim during this journey of life, we are literally engulfed by the love of God. The same Spirit of Christ lives within us. The Spirit of Christ is behind us. before us, within us, above us, below us, within us, all the time, constantly guiding us and helping us to think like Jesus, to understand like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to lighten up and live like Jesus did. Jesus, who, as we were told in Scripture, was not confined by status or the opinions of other people. My gosh, how often are we thrown around like a cat toy based on what other people think and say about us during the day? How often, literally, do we have the best intention to stay close with God, to live in that joy and peace that when we are aligned with His will and purposes and know that He's constantly churning behind closed doors on our behalf? When we truly live and walk with that confidence, then we don't get tossed around like a cat toy. When you're made new in Christ, the old way of thinking is gone, and shazam, the new way of thinking in Christ is resurrected. Your mind is governed by the Spirit, if you choose to allow it to be governed by the Spirit. And that results in life and peace. So I grew up in Long Island, New York. And I refer to these as my BC days, before Christ days, before Jesus became the Lord of my life, right between my junior and senior year of high school. I literally used to curse like a sailor. I used to use the F-bomb as an adjective. And I remember one time I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he pulled me aside and just said, "Hey, you know what? I just don't think that that's very attractive. I'm just going to be honest with you, because you use the F-bomb all the time and it's just not very attractive. I mean, talk about a good friend just calling me out." And at the time, Jesus was not sitting on the throne of my heart, just saying. I just responded with, "What the F are you talking about?" My mind was not controlled by the Spirit. It was controlled by the flesh. And so I dropped that F-bomb. But the most amazing thing happened after I accepted Christ. And there are certain things that when you accept Jesus Christ of Nazareth as your Lord and Savior, and you start living and walking the walk with the power of the Holy Spirit, the resurrected presence of Christ within and through you, there's some things that happen right away that are cleansed. And my mouth was cleansed right away. And I stopped dropping the F-bomb. I didn't think about it. I didn't even put any effort toward it. It was literally the result of having my mind be governed by the Spirit. And my body be governed by the resurrected presence of Christ, because I opened up my heart to the presence of Christ and invited Him to sit on the throne of my life. And I stepped down. And as a result, that was the first zone of interior cleaning that was resurrected into the likeness of Christ. And what the ramifications of that were: more light, kind, compassionate shift in my intonation and word choice. Jesus is always after recovering the lighter version of who we are and who we're created to be, simply because it feels a lot better moving forward. When your mind is controlled by the flesh, your identity is literally hijacked. And confusion, suspicion, self-doubt, worry slither in between your two ears and spill out into your perceptions and behaviors. And that's why the next podcast that'll go hand in hand with this one that I will be putting forth is on the mouth. Because when the mind is controlled by the Spirit, the mouth basically speaks whatever the mind is controlled by, and your perceptions and behaviors are shifted. So what's the solution of this? How do we upload to the front lines the Spirit controlled by the mind controlled by the Spirit versus our mind controlled by the flesh? The first thing is just have high noticing. Have high noticing around when your mind is controlled by the flesh. You'll know it. It's not rocket science. You'll feel it. You'll literally feel it in 125 thousandths of a second is how the body responds to the thought life. So whether it's positive, lights on, or negative, lights off, as we teach in the Shift Lights On Leadership Program, you will literally feel it cascading through your body. And identify the thoughts that you often entertain that are governed or controlled, regulated by the flesh. Write those thoughts down. You'll start to see patterns. Look for patterns of those negative thoughts. Who does it happen to? Where? When? What triggers it? And then when you bring the light of your presence on the thoughts that fuel death to your inner peace, joy, and confidence in the Lord, you're now in a position to shift it. You can't shift it if you're not really exactly sure what's going on. Then you're thrown around like a cat toy. So shift them into the light of Christ's presence within you and transfer that awareness into a positive behavior. For example, I'll give you a recent example. I often have critical thoughts after facilitating a training or workshop or a team building exercise. And I question myself because I have a program to be enough, right? So I will question myself if the training's good enough. I'll start kind of going over it. Oh man, I should have done this better. Maybe I should have added this. Or I should have paused that, expanded that. Now, what I've learned over time, I often, perhaps you've heard this statement is I'll should all over myself. I should have done this. I should have done that. This thought robs me of inner peace. My thought, my mind is not controlled by the spirit when I'm in this space. It robs me of inner peace and confidence because it's fueled by a worldly desire to be enough. How do I know? Because this thought is never satisfied. It's like a spoiled child. The more I feed it, the more it wants. The more I give it attention, the more I question myself rather than just showing up, trusting the results to the Lord, doing the best that I can, preparing, doing the best that I can in terms of preparation, and then just going for it 100% with only one attachment, my heart to Jesus' heart. And once I become aware that my mind was being governed by the flesh before and after an event, I now implement the behavior of prayer because I know I'm more sensitive and I'm more vulnerable to being tossed around like a cat toy with the mind of the flesh after an event. So I've upped my prayer life before and after, including working with clients before and after, so that I can get out of the way and not be attached to any outcome. And basically be present to God, get the wisdom that's there and wipe the dust off my feet and move on. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity, I will say, to facilitate growth and learning in the lives of the people entrusted to my care. I invite you in to remind my mind that this is your work through me, not my work. Bless the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, that you would be glorified in all of my efforts, more of you, less of me. Grant me the peace of knowing that with you all things are possible. When you have a thought that robs your inner peace and confident identity in Christ, explore its source. That's the first step. The flesh is never satisfied. It always wants more and is fueled by insecurity, criticism, suspicion, fear, doubt, and worry. Those are your hints. So when your mind is controlled by the flesh, you'll be experiencing more insecurity, more inner critic, criticizing other people, judgment, comparison, jealousy, envy, strife. All of those things of the flesh. The spirit's always willing to learn. You know your mind is controlled by the spirit because you ask questions. You don't get defensive. It doesn't take offense easily. And when you're really in the spirit and your mind is really controlled by the spirit, it doesn't even step into the place of offense. It doesn't take offense. It just simply asks questions for clarity, holds on to what is a learning opportunity and releases the rest. It adjusts, it grows, it releases. It begins again with confidence and trust in God. And the result, just as we're told in Romans, the result is life and peace. So many times, simply the conscious choice to die to yourself, your own desires in the form of positive behavior that considers the needs of others better than your own will shift. That's enough to shift and bump you out of the mind controlled by the flesh and will toss you into the mind controlled by the spirit. Ask for it though. I practice this on a daily basis. Boy, I'll get tossed into the mind controlled by the flesh. I'll go back and forth. My goal personally every day is that my mind would be more controlled by the spirit today than yesterday. That in this moment, that I'll have more moments, more thoughts that are dictated by the spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the presence of the power of the living Christ within me, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead. May my mind be controlled more by that today than yesterday. Do you desire to be understood? Then make it your daily practice to understand other people. Start reaching out and supporting other people with what you want. Give them that same grace you desire. Jesus created instant connection with people because he loved first, then he offered guidance. Perhaps you desire to see more open doors in your life. Then make it a practice to create open doors for other people around you. If you have the ability to make a positive connection that would edify and expand somebody's work in this world, do it. Let go, release. Work for the edification of other people. I'll tell you, we'll be truly, truly free when we can pray for the success of another human being over our own success. That's when you know you're truly, truly controlled by that the spirit is controlling your mind. Do you desire to experience generosity from other people? Then make it your practice to be generous with your time and your talents to the people around you. Perhaps you desire to experience more loving moments. I see this often with couples that I'll coach, that they'll want to have the more loving moments, more moments of positive connection that are filled with laughter and joy. There's a process of adding more moments of love and filling the love bank, as Dr. Harvey speaks about. There's a love bank, and you make deposits or withdrawals. To make more deposits in the lives of those people around you, I'll tell you, there's edification that comes back to you. If you want more moments of love with those around you and laughter and joy, then create loving moments. Laugh more. Play around. Lighten up. Live each moment this week. I invite you to live each moment this week in the wow. Within the wow, within omnipresent wonder of God, ask the Holy Spirit to surprise you this week with omnipresent moments of wonder with the Lord. You have the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. Remember, pull that back inside. Invite the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to govern your mind this week. Perhaps that's your prayer. Dear God, govern my mind more in this moment than last moment. Dear God, as I write this email, govern my mind so that the Spirit would shine through and edify the person that this email is going to. Lord, I give you permission to govern my mind, this phone call that I'm about to make. Remove all selfish ambition and vain conceit. Help it to be about how I can edify and help and support this person that I'm speaking to. Help me to be clear if there's conflict situation. Dear God, I invite the mind of the Spirit to guide my ability to set healthy boundaries, to speak the truth, and then offer respect and understanding, and also to accept a different opinion and a different perspective than my own without getting defensive. Dear Lord, when my mind is controlled by your Spirit, I feel that all things are possible. I remember who I am and what I'm not. My peace is expanded and my life feels more complete as I surrender all to you. I invite you today to rock my interior world with the power of your Spirit within me. Take charge of my mind, will, and emotions. So much so that when people see me, they walk away with a sense of how much you love and adore them. My greatest joy comes in the measure through which I love and serve other people. My ego, edging God out, is too big to make that happen on my own, so crash my pity parties and self-oriented thinking that is fueled by fleshly desires to be seen, acknowledged, and recognized. Help me today to feel safe and connected, being small in you with full confidence that when I am controlled by your presence within me, then my true identity is found and my peace is profound and my life is secure. Keep me wowed this week within your omnipresent wonder. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to reflect on that scripture from Romans, memorize the parts of it that literally pop out to you that the Holy Spirit really wants you to store in your memory so that you can use them this week to help you to experience that omnipresent wonder of God that comes when your mind is governed by the power of the Spirit. The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 8, 6 through 11. Enjoy your gift of life and look for this podcast will be posted, Living in the Wow. The next podcast that will go hand in hand with this one will be on mastering the tongue. And so look for that podcast because that will go hand in hand and we'll bring a fuller understanding of what happens when your mind is controlled. What is the ramification of your words when your mind is controlled by the Spirit or the flesh? Your attitude is your closest friend or worst enemy. You get to choose it by allowing your mind to be controlled by the Spirit or the flesh. And the results either light up the world or literally punch the lights out of the people around you. Give them heaven today. Thank you for joining us. This is Edge God In Podcast, edgegodin.com for more information. And thank you for joining us today. May God bless the work of your hands, the meditations of your mouth, and your heart moving forward into this week.